It's a vexed issue for many parents, how to navigate the social media tightrope with their children and be aware of the dangers. In parenting, we're talking about a public health researcher from the Australian Institute of Family Studies who's across the positive aspects of online activity. Dr. Mandy Truong says having friends is critical for early adolescence, but so too is social media. She's penned a paper which pulls together research evidence about the influence of positive peer relationships for 8 to 14-year-olds and how it affects their social and emotional development. Dr. Truong, thank you very much for being with us. Welcome to 9 to Noon.
Thanks very much for having me.
Such a minefield for parents, under pressure from kids from an early age for a device and for social media use. How do you come at the question as a researcher?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, all very valid concerns. So our report summarises existing research from internationally that looked at the influence of positive peer relationships and mental health among young people in their middle years of childhood. So that's between kind of 8 to 14 years. And I think we picked this age group because there's not as much attention, I think, given to this in between years compared to, say, the early years or later adolescence. But I think it's a really important period when young people are experiencing a lot of changes in their lives, so physically and mentally, including going through puberty, and also perhaps a time when their parental influence decreases and young people spending more time with their friends online and offline and potentially being more influenced by their friends and what they're saying and doing. So I think it's really important to understand this period and how their peer relationships impact their mental well-being to be able to equip them with the social, emotional and relationship skills, which can really serve them well in their life.
So is it a meta-analysis, the work that you've done here?
No, it was more of a kind of a summary of existing research.
Right.
It wasn't a meta-analysis because the research is quite diverse. A lot of the studies don't actually consistently report what they mean by positive peer relationships, but we wanted to get, you know, a kind of a lay of the land of what researchers have been looking at and how that's linked to mental health and well-being.
Before we dig into this, the age group is quite... a range. There's a heck of a difference between an 8-year-old and a 14-year-old in every way, let alone whether they might have a device and be on social media. So have you sort of looked at different groups within that age group?
No, we didn't. We kind of just took like that average range of 8 to 14 to kind of get an overview. But I think your point is very valid that an 8-year-old using social media probably looks quite different to, say, a 14-year-old who's online.
Or even the question of whether they ought to be. More on that in a moment. You'll tell us what the research tells us. First, let's look at the key issues to be mindful of with respect to child development at this stage and or stages. What is it? You've touched on it. They're entering puberty or they're in puberty. But what socially and in terms of their social and emotional development is so significant about this stage and age?
Yeah, I think, as I said before, it's just a time when there's a lot of things changing in their lives, navigating school, relationships with their family and friends and peers, social activities. A lot of young people these days are quite busy, you know, with sport, drama, theatre, a lot of extracurricular activities as well. And I think this is an important age group because young people are transitioning from primary to secondary school as well, which can be quite stressful and significant for some. So it's about elevating the importance of having one or two really close friends that they can talk to and draw support from. Research also indicates that half of all mental health problems may become apparent by about age 14, with symptoms potentially beginning in primary school a bit earlier. So again, it's a very important time for these kind of challenges, whether it's emotional, behavioural, to be identified. So there's options for early intervention and support to help young people.
So what part of this development relates to online interaction with other young people? And you might want to delve into a little bit more detail here. What role does that play for this generation of young people in the context of their peer relationships and their friendships?
Okay. So I think young people these days are living in a very digital world, certainly different to when I grew up. And I think establishing positive peer relationships is really critical, and we need to factor in technology and social media into the equation and realise that for some young people, online interactions are just as important as physical face-to-face interactions. So people who didn't grow up in this kind of world may not understand the extent to which online social media provides an avenue for young people to find their tribe, to really find people that they connect with, continue conversations after school, to find people that they share common interests with. Because I think children's interests and activities are quite diverse now, and they're exposed to a lot more topics and information. So I think it's acknowledging that although people might be concerned around safety, their access and exposure to technology is a lot earlier,
yeah,
and increasingly potentially earlier as well.
It's not just safety, particularly in those younger ones, Mandy, that people have questions about. It's the importance of physical interaction, seeing facial expressions, reading facial expressions, eye to eye contact, mm-hmm. laughing and giggling mm-hmm. together. That's part of development as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to suggest it's an either or, but is that part of the reservation that people worry not enough of that person to person contact is happening when kids get too hooked on their devices?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I understand that people have those kind of concerns. I have two children within that age group as well, and it's about finding a balance, I think. I don't think there's a prescription. I don't think the research has really caught up with how common technology is in the spheres of young people and earlier age groups. It would be nice to have more research to drill down on those issues a bit more, to maybe give a bit more guidance to parents and educators and other people who work with young people. But I think it's about understanding what peer relationships are, what helping young people understand what a safe, positive and supportive peer relationship, whether it's online or face-to-face physical. I think there are some elements that are still similar regardless of the setting. So understanding what empathy is, how to be supportive, showing affection, boosting and being intimate with your friends. I think there are some common principles that apply regardless of the setting, which are important to kind of help our young people understand who are developing those social skills and those emotional skills and behavioural, you know, skills at that really important age when a lot of things are changing in their lives.
What evidence is there of a benefit to positive or social media being beneficial to positive interaction? What kind of stuff?
So I think most of the research around social media, which we didn't actually cover in our report, is more centred on slightly older people or young adults. So what we did find that peer relationships in general, and again, acknowledging that peer relationships do occur in different settings, is that there is a strong link between young people's positive peer relationships and their mental health. So that means, in other words, positive peer relationships is associated with positive mental health, and negative peer relationships is associated with more poorer mental health. Positive peer relations may even be a protective factor against negative mental health, and potentially, I think importantly, buffer the effects of negative peer and family experiences, whether it's right at this point in time or later on in life. So I think it's important to have that, be able to establish those strong friendships, which doesn't necessarily mean the number of friendships or how popular you are. It's about, you know, whether you have trust in someone that you can go to for support, to give you that security and that acknowledgement and recognition about what you're going through, to really help your well-being, your mental health later in life as you navigate your adolescence.
It's interesting. I don't know what era you're from, Mandy, but bizarrely, when we were school kids, we'd get on the old landline, the old dog and bone, about half an hour after getting home from the same people we'd been hanging out with school with, and we'd managed to stay on the phone for a couple of hours to the mystery of our parents. So the point is, and I think this is to your point, the strong friendship that may be established IRL carries on through an intermediary to the extent that can surprise parents. Like, what the hell else could you possibly be talking about? So now we are in a situation where that relationship with a strong or a small group of strong, positive peers may continue through social media. How the difference is with social media, everyone else can bust in on the call, right? It's like a party line. So what's the advice to parents about how to assist kids use this tool to its greatest benefit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good question, a really important one. So parents are armed with enough information so they can make those routines and family rules in a way that benefits the particular family circumstances, which may look different from family to family or household to household. There are some really great resources out there that provide a bit of guidance, telling you what apps do and don't do, what the parental controls are, what's age-appropriate content or not. We didn't cover that in our report, but I would go to sources such as NetSafe Schools in New Zealand, the eSafety Commission in Australia, and organisations such as Raising Children to really give you a bit more fine-grained advice. But I think you raise a good point about being able to have those conversations later on. It's just like a different medium, and it might be really great for young people who might be a bit more anxious or socially anxious or unsure, and having the opportunity to connect and laugh about memes online might develop their confidence and self-esteem, which might then later on lead them to have more confidence to navigate personal interactions in real life and with social activities later on. So it might benefit, you know, certain groups of people who might be a bit more reluctant or a bit shy to, you know, make those interactions in real life. I'd also like to say that what we can do as parents or people that work with young people is to help them build skills in areas such as conflict resolution, positive and healthy communication, and resilience, and helping them understand what it means to have boundaries, which may look slightly different online versus or on an app versus in real life. So I think having those open conversations to understand where your child is at in terms of those kind of skills, and then providing that support to help them build their skills so that they are able to navigate relationships that might be more challenging and be really positive in their interactions with their friends and other adults in their lives as well.
Is it the case, or do you find that many parents start from a place of fear with this technology, and particularly with those kids when they start nagging, want a device, want to get on social media? Do many start from a perception of the negative, and boy, I can understand why, but your point is you need to get a handle on it. You need to get skilled on it, and you need to help your child be skilled with it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Certainly anecdotally, in my own circle of friends or with people I talk to, and also people I've talked to in the media, is there seems to be that kind of fallback to a negative attitude or kind of, and I kind of understand that. You know, I worry as well about my children and the possibilities around not being safe, or there are people out there who don't have great intentions. But if we, rather than just either ignoring the issue and shutting it off, I think being more proactive and arming yourself and your young person with this information to be able to, so they are be able to be safe and protect themselves when there are challenges. So I think that is understandable, but I think being proactive might kind of help more in the long run. So with the information from those key websites and having that open conversation. So if there is a challenge and the young person's not sure, they're not reluctant to ask you for advice, that they will be able to have that conversation because you're not kind of being negative or angry or judgmental. So I think that's really important to keep those lines of communication open, you know, for friendships that happen online as well as in real life as well, I would say.
Thank you. That's Dr. Mandy Trung, who is a researcher. She's with the Australian Institute of Family Studies.